When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's MaintainX.com/AI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 78 degrees on this Monday, August 25th, 2025. Some like to call this the last week of summer. No, say it ain't so. Labor Day weekend coming up. How's everybody doing? How was your weekend? Good time by all here. Listen, Saturday was gorgeous. Sunday, not too bad. You know, little showers in there, but it turned out just okay regardless. How's everyone doing? Did you do anything special this weekend? I was up at the Pittston Tomato Fest hanging out with my girl Sue Henry and her crew at Sabatelli's. Yes. Brought the grandson, the missus there. Had a great time. Donna, thank you for coming up and saying you listen, avid listener to the station. I appreciate you, and thanks for taking a picture as well. And I'm glad you went over to see our friend Sue Henry while she was sweating it up on her feet for, what did she say, 47 hours? Oh, better than me. When I said that these are the hardest working people in Northeast Pennsylvania, in my picture that I posted of me, her, and Jason Sabatelli, I was not referring to me. They have that by far. I appreciate all they do there. And it was a great event up in Pittston Tomato Festival, and looking forward to the Scranton La Festa this weekend, maybe head in there with some other plans as well, taking the grandson to see his first Rail Riders game this weekend coming up. So we'll see you around if you're there. Some news just coming out now. It's interesting. So President Trump signs an executive order banning the burning of the American flag. Now, it's interesting because the left stream media is literally losing their mind. And our friends here in our local ABC affiliate are no different. Within the hour, they posted, "Flag burning has been recognized for decades as an act of symbolic speech protected under the First Amendment." That's the headline for their story. Trump signs executive order to prosecute anybody who burns the U.S. flag. Now, I've been reading the order, and again, the Supreme Court has already decided on this. Where this goes, does it get challenged again? I guess we'll see. As abhorrent as I believe the burning of the American flag is, I think as of now, the decisions from the Supreme Court have been clear that it is protected speech. But listen to what this administration has done here. And I don't think this is about actually prosecuting anyone for burning the American flag. It's having outlets like I just read supporting the burning of the American flag. He literally got them to rally behind burning of the American flag. Now, if you agree with that or not, if you think it's protected free speech or you find it abhorrent, this executive order is having them in droves say, this is outrageous. This is our right to burn the American flag. And you may be correct, but do you hear how ridiculous that sounds as far as a platform? So far, supporting violent illegal immigrants, he's got you to support. Supporting criminals, yep, yeah, you check that box. Support fraud, waste, and mismanagement. No, Democrats did that just fine. Support endless wars, yep, they don't want any peace, that's for sure. And support the burning of the American flag. So listen, on a strategy standpoint, this is brilliant. Where it goes as far as actually prosecuting anyone, I don't think it's going to go very far. Again, I'm looking at the executive order now. I really haven't dove into it verbatim, word for word. Does it change? Of course it's going to be challenged. Of course it most probably will be held up as protected speech. We will see. But in the meantime, he's got the left rallying behind burning of the American flag. And touche there. Touche there. So that's some news that's just coming out. And again, the media outlets out there, from our national affiliates to the cable news channels, are rallying behind this. Like, a flag burning has been recognized for decades as an act of symbolic speech protected under the First Amendment, ABC says. So you go with that. You go with that indeed. Cracker Barrel has also released, this is just coming out, this is an update of 1 p.m. today. They are in full damage control mode. And I think this entire Cracker Barrel argument is pretty funny. I like Cracker Barrel. I like the old Cracker Barrel. If they want to try and refresh it and renew it, you're taking a risk for a staple such as Cracker Barrel. When we travel, especially when we travel down south or travel long ways, I usually looked for a Cracker Barrel, you know, to grab a nice meal for the ride. You know, you always know what you're getting, and it was always good. The environment was nice. It was friendly. Not that that might change, but I'm not a fan of this. So they released a statement. Cracker Barrel is making a promise to customers after its new logo sparked backlash from fans in the restaurant chain. We're grateful for your heartfelt voices. You've also shown us that we could have done a better job sharing who we are and who we'll always be, Cracker Barrel wrote. Cracker Barrel has been working on a wider rebrand for some time beyond the new logo. It has also started remodeling its country-style restaurants and retail stores. The company began ramping up this overhaul last year by swapping out older, more antique-filled designs with lighter paint and modern furniture. But Monday's statement emphasized that the 55-year-old restaurant's core values and traditions haven't changed. The things people love most about our stores aren't going anywhere. Rocking chairs on the porch, a warm fire in the hearth, peg games on the tables, unique treasures in our gift shop, and vintage Americana with antiques pulled straight out of our warehouse in Lebanon, Tennessee. As for the old-timer, an image of the founder, Uncle Herschel, removed from the logo, Cracker Barrel said he would still appear on the menu and elsewhere in the country store. Our menu's favorite, like meatloaf and country fried steak, that's one of my favorite, by the way, will also be sticking around, Cracker Barrel said, with new dishes joining the menu. We know we won't always get everything right the first time, but we'll keep testing, learning, and listening to our guests and employees, the statement said. At the end of the day, our promise is simple. You will always find comfort, community, and country hospitality here at Cracker Barrel. Founded in 1969, Cracker Barrel operates nearly 660 locations across the U.S., according to their website. This is the latest. This latest look marks the brand's fifth evolution of its logo to date. Listen, people don't like change. It's as simple as that. I think if they would have done this slowly and more quietly, it wouldn't have raised such a ruckus. I think if they would have just test marketed it a little bit, I think the whole thing's comical. People like to get outraged about the strangest things. Listen, if you don't want to go to Cracker Barrel, you don't go to Cracker Barrel. If I walk in and it doesn't feel like a place that I feel welcomed in, listen, I'm going to walk out and go elsewhere. But we'll see. I think marketing executives, especially today in this generation, you know, they've gone and gotten their MBAs from all these fancy schools and got all these fancy letters. They have to justify their existence. They have to prove that they are worth probably their six-figured salaries doing what they do. So they all come out with this big idea book. Hey, you know, I have a marketing degree from Harvard. I'm an MBA. I got this. I got that. I think this is the way we should go. And they listen to it. And we've seen time and time again how that falls flat on its face. The customer is the ultimate marketing expert. And it always will be. There's ways to do things and there's ways not to do things. And I think this statement by Cracker Barrel is just a huge damage control, saying, well, hey, we're not really changing that much. We didn't get the rollout properly correct, but we're really not changing. So, you know, give us a chance here. And it'll be up to the customers and their board based on their market destruction, what happens here. But again, I don't think this is a left or right thing. I don't think this is a good or bad thing. I think this is just people listening to the wrong people. You have these individuals coming out of college who think they know what they don't know because they haven't known. You write that one down. And they have to justify their existence. They have to justify their salaries. They have to justify, you know, their positions. And we've all worked with people like that. Marketing is renowned for people like that because, you know, what's their job? Hey, I got the next big idea. I got the next logo for us or the brand that's going to bring us over the top. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. No. Focus on good food, comfortable environment, and a place where people feel warm and welcomed. And that's what they've always done. You know, could they have moderately changed a little bit and maybe upgraded some things? Possibly. But quite honestly, some of their new modern-looking stores looked ridiculous. You know, look like a diner, a modern diner or a Chipotle. That's not where I want to go when I want to eat Southern comfort food. So that's just me. We'll see. You know, I'm willing to see where this goes here, and I think the whole thing is pretty comical, to be honest with you. So that's a statement from Cracker Barrel that just came out at 1 o'clock today, so I wanted to get that to you since it seems to be the talk of the town here, let's say. Also here we got Gen Z entrepreneur says that a work-life balance is what keeps his generation mediocre. And it's interesting here because it says, you know, 22-year-old entrepreneur Emil Barr is sparking generational debate and financial freedom by age of 30 worth sacrificing sleep, health, and friendship. That's the question. Is financial freedom by the age of 30 worth sacrificing sleep, health, and friendship? First of all, we're listening to a 22-year-old entrepreneur here. Now, usually I would write that off and say, why am I paying attention to you? Well, the Step Up Social founder, who says he's built two companies already valued at $20 million, says yes. Well, now he makes me want to listen. You're 22 years old and you've built two companies worth $20 million. Extraordinary sacrifice is the price of extraordinary achievement. Makes sense, right? You work hard, you make big gains. Not always, but a lot of times. If you're a hard worker, you are going to succeed. Being successful required a lot of sacrifice and it wasn't easy, and that's not necessarily something everyone wants to hear. I saw folks like Elon Musk that slept on factory floors to build Teslas and people like Kobe Bryant that trained at 4 a.m. even in the off season. So I made those same decisions to grow my business. It makes sense, right? He doubled down on that message in Wall Street Journal op-ed on Monday, insisting that work-life balance keeps you mediocre. I don't know about mediocre, but it definitely hinders your success. It definitely hinders your advancement. Now, for some people, mediocre is probably a bad word. You know, maybe they just want to be comfortable and have a balanced family life. That's not being mediocre. That's being successful in your vision for your life. But yes, if you want to focus totally on your position, on your job, on your dreams of making more money at the behest of ignoring maybe your family and special events and your friends and leisure, yes, those things will suffer. All of those things will suffer. And I look back at my own life where there was a balance. My family came first. Now, I always gave 110% to my job. I always did everything I had to do for that. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to not make it home after work a couple of times, and told my family goodbye that I may not be coming home. And that sounds selfish when you look at it, especially now. Why wouldn't you just go home? Why would you risk that and not be with your family? Well, it's because it was who I was. It's why I did what I did. And hundreds, if not thousands, of others did the same thing, not just me. And tens of thousands, if not millions, of our armed services do that now. Our first responders do that now. But I always took any amount of overtime that I made in time, compensation time, so I could take time off, so I could take 3 and 4 day weekends and be at every event for my family and be at those baseball games and be at the soccer games and be at the graduations and the birthdays. I made it a point to do those things. And at the financial hindrance of myself, because basically when you retire, that's based on your take home for the rest of your life. So do I feel that now? Of course. Do I think it was a detriment to my life? Absolutely not. I think one of the reasons my kids are where they are today is because of that involvement that I had, because of hitting a 30-year marriage next month. 2 months, not next month. Keep thinking it's September already. In October, 30 years married, a big part of that was because of the time I invested in being with my partner, being with my wife, being a family together. So in my view, that was very successful. Now, did it hinder me financially? Sure. Did it take away some advancement that I possibly could have had? Absolutely. But if you're willing to set that all aside, if you're willing to do without a family and just focus on your career and work hard and work 18, 20-hour days, yeah, you're going to be successful. You will pay off. That doesn't mean you're mediocre. So that's where I digress from this take here. But where normally I would write this 22-year-old right off, he's got a lot to say here, and there's a lot of good things there. Maybe at 22, you're not focused on family, children. And he says if he focuses and does puts all his effort into that work journey and not a work-life balance, by 30, he'll be where he needs to be. Well, maybe his big plan is at 30, he is going to meet the right woman. Maybe at 30, he starts that family. And that is his pathway. And no one's pathway needs to be the same. But the gist of this story is if you want to be successful, work hard. Work hard at that goal. Write that goal down. Write down what you need to do to get there. And start checking those boxes. Be the best you can, even at the little tasks, even at the menial, mediocre things that you need to do. Even in the positions that may not be the position you want to be the best at it. Get noticed. Work above and beyond that position. So you can get to where you want to get to. So I find this, I'm going to post this article on my social media because I think it's worth a read. And again, I think you should take from it what you get from it as far as maybe it's not mediocre. Maybe it's my happy place and my balance in life. A work-life balance does not mean you're mediocre. It means you may be where you want to be. Are you as successful? Sure, but success isn't everything. For some people. It's 324, going on 325 here at WILK. We'll be back. We're back. How's everybody doing on this Monday, August 25th here? Got some text messages in talking about that, working hard to your 30. Maybe by 31, the poor guy will get sick and pass on. That's from Lee. Yeah, very true. Very true. Cracker Barrel signed their woke death warrant. Did they? We'll see. And this one is, so my military service has no more meaning since I serve to protect that flag and the people who live under its protection. I don't understand what you mean by that. Please clarify. So my military service has no more meaning since I serve to protect that flag and the people who live under its protection. Listen, I find the burning of the flag abhorrent. And although up until this point it may have been protected First Amendment speech, it's not without consequence. So you have to take that in consideration. Maybe there's not a legal avenue for that to do it, but I would imagine in certain circumstances, if you're burning the American flag, you are taking
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Some risk there. But I definitely hear what you're saying, and I know veterans around the world serving in your capacity feels the same way. Got another text message. Who cares about a company updating a logo? It's been done for decades before. Every change is now called woke. This is what we have to be outraged over? Question mark. A logo? Who winds people up about this nonsense like this? Stupidity of modern social media. It's a ham and grits place. Please stop. Well, for someone who said they don't care about the logo, just texted me twice about it. So you don't want us talking about it. You do want us talking. It's in the media. Cracker Barrel. Is there anyone out there who hasn't eaten at a Cracker Barrel? So I would imagine it's relevant, right? And like I said, unless they change something drastically with the way I feel when I walk in there, their logo means nothing to me. I just think they went about it in a strange manner, and I think they've learned from that, which is why they're in full damage control mode now. But are they in full damage control mode because of the pushback? Maybe they should have reached out, done some test markets. You know, let's do a few stores and change things to see what the fallback is. I mean, 660 stores, Cracker Barrel is not a small entity. But also 660 stores is not a major, you know, if they all go away tomorrow, is it a major loss to society? No. Again, when I travel, especially long distances, which I often do, you know, if there's a Cracker Barrel around, it's usually on the radar for a place to stop for us. Because you know what you're getting. You know you're getting a nice semi-home-cooked meal, even though it's not a home, in an environment that's enjoyable. And we'll see. I mean, I've had Cracker Barrels where the food maybe not met my expectations, not bad, but didn't meet my expectations as they normally do. But their environment and their atmosphere never disappointed. So again, people don't like change, and that's any change, and that goes for anything, and that's a big part of this. It isn't about woke or not woke or whoever it is. I think that's more of who the face was. This change was is this CEO or marketing person, and again, we talked about that. So. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 3:35. Got some more text messaging. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Burn the American flag and it's all good, but if you burn a pride flag, it's hate crime. Makes sense. Interesting observation and how that is, right? I hope my comments on the Cracker Barrel thing find you well. Very respectful. Thank you. The thing I'm tired of seeing is everything going from nice and unique to and stylish to bland and boring. Every restaurant you see these days has gone bland and boring. And now Cracker Barrel wants to do the same thing. The logo looks boring. The planned remodels are boring. This world is just boring compared to the 90s. I definitely hear you there. Waffle House and Cracker Barrel, the two places down south, you know you'll get a good meal. Listen, and anywhere, if there's a barbecue place attached to a gas station, you want to stop in and get some barbecue. I'm just saying, it'll never let you down. But you have to be south of Virginia. South of Virginia, if there's a barbecue joint connected to a gas station, you do not want to drive by it. Just my personal experience. Just my personal experience. So this past weekend, there were two articles, one by the New York Times and one by an opinion columnist locally that have mentioned that the Scranton mayor, Paige Cognetti, is or may be looking into a bid to run for Congress in Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District against sitting Congressman Rob Bresnahan. You know, when the Times Tribune mentioned it, due to inside sources that she's contemplating a run or is going to run for Congress, it's interesting because she's running for mayor of Scranton. And the local, you know, opinion columnist who wrote this weekend, I believe yesterday, again, the whole article was basically pushing her to run for Congress. And then when you do a little research and you find that that same opinion columnist has always been the mayor's, or even not before mayor, Paige Cognetti's hype person, even being quoted in a 2018 article by Harvard on her when she was in the school board. Now, I did some research about the possibility of running for two offices at the same time, and there is not a single case where someone ran for a local office like mayor and federal office like Congress at the same time. How do you ask for votes from people of your city saying, entrust me with leading your city, but I'm planning on leaving hopefully in a couple months if I win another election? But then you look at the history. Well, Paige Cognetti only served on the school board for a year, and then she jumped ship to go to the Auditor General's office to do some other things. And then she left there to jump in to run for mayor. And then I think it was pretty obvious that she was looking for a coattail in a new Biden administration, so probably would have jumped town if Biden-Harris won in January, in November, and took office in January. Maybe if Harris, after Biden left, the chances of that dwindled a little bit, but maybe not. I mean, she transferred her support over to Harris pretty quickly. And now, instead of waiting for Josh Shapiro's coattails, you know, she's possibly looking to jump from Scranton to Congress. Even though in her 2018 Harvard article, she mentions that the, you know, local's the place to be, and she doesn't see anywhere in her future to run for federal office. It's amazing how things change, but you know, years change people, right? But again, there's been no one that I could find that has run for local office like mayor and federal office like Congress at the same time simultaneously. And again, how do voters of Scranton feel about that? That she is asking for your vote to continue as mayor, but she wants something better, and if she gets it, she's leaving you in the dust and will leave that mayor position up to the appointment of the Democratic committee. This has happened before in Scranton when there's been a vacancy, but it won't be up to the voters. So vote for her for mayor. If she runs for Congress and possibly wins, then your choice for mayor will not be your choice. It'll be the machine, the Democratic machine in Scranton, picking a mayor to the next special election. And then there'll be an election outright there. It's interesting how she's never answered the question along this campaign during the primaries, if you are elected mayor of Scranton, do you intend on fulfilling your term? Well, it's obviously, it's becoming more and more clear. And again, the more articles that come out, there's obviously more leaks from inside saying that this is a real possibility that she'll run for Congress. How does the people of Scranton feel about that? That you're being asked for someone for their vote and confidence to run the city of Scranton, but yet in mere months, she's looking to jump ship and head elsewhere. Well, again, if you look at her history, where she's only served a year on the school board and jumped ship to the Auditor General for something better, and then she jumped there at an opportunity to run for mayor and did, and now something better is coming along, she believes, and she's looking to jump ship again. Stepping stones. Remember, we said this time and time again. How do you feel being a stepping stone? Because obviously there's no commitment to her hometown of Scranton, which really has never been her hometown. She's from elsewhere. She came here and married into Scranton. And not even Scranton. They live in Scranton. We'll have a house in Scranton. We still haven't understood why she doesn't take the homestead exemption if she lives in Scranton. But she does own a house in Scranton. I can confirm that. And as per the law of running for Scranton mayor and being part of that, that's all she needs to do, fortunately. So it's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Just looking through something here. So the farmers market voucher numbers are down in the county. It was interesting watching them try and spin this article. So Lackawanna County's Area Agency on Aging distributed fewer farmer market vouchers this season after the value of the voucher checks was cut by half and the agency received a smaller number of vouchers than it originally requested. A modest number of unclaimed vouchers remained after planned distribution wrapped up earlier this summer. So there was a whole to-do about, oh, because of what's going on with the administration, because of unknowns and cuts, this farmer's market, there's going to be less vouchers for our elderly and our aging population to use at these events, and we're going to have to reduce the cost of these. So they got these vouchers, and not all of them were even used. So they had to spin this as a, you know, the administration's still bad for doing what they did to this program, but we still have leftover vouchers in the end. And then they tried to say, well, maybe it was because the amount of the vouchers were cut in half. But were the vouchers really cut in half? Because they increased the vouchers. Now, the vouchers for this year were $5. That was what the vouchers for. $5 for fresh fruits, vegetables, herbs, participating in the farmer's market and farm stands. So they're saying, well, it's because we cut the value of these vouchers down. But they don't, well, they did say in the article, but they don't tout really, that they increased from $6 to $10 each in 2023 because of the pandemic as a result of expansion funding provided by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and two-year funding provided under the Federal American Rescue Plan Act. So the vouchers were always just $6. Because of the American Rescue Act and the pandemic, they bumped it up into 2023 to $10 each voucher. So they're just bringing it back to just about the pre-pandemic level from $6 to $5. Now, county officials announced in February that the value of the vouchers would drop from $10 to $5, reducing the overall amount individual recipients had to spend from $50 to $25. So the vouchers were $5 each, and each recipient got $25 worth. Officials attributed that change to the reduced legislative appropriation for the program, which has seen the voucher values fluctuate before. Well, the reduced legislative appropriation for the program is that the American Rescue Plan Act two-year funding increase was ending. So this wasn't about anything being cut. It was being back to pre-pandemic levels. And you have to realize when they try and play this shell game with you to make it seem like, well, bad things are happening in Washington that are causing this, and our poor elderly are going to suffer because they're only getting half the amount that they usually get. And in the end, they have leftover vouchers. They weren't all used, even being cut. And they really weren't cut. They were just brought back to their normal threshold, which had increased because of the American Rescue Plan Act and post-pandemic increases. So I find it interesting that they're trying their hardest to spin this in a negative way when it's a positive. Our seniors got them, these vouchers, and there's even leftover. And the spin that, the big bad administration cut these things in half and we don't know where the money's coming from and we're not sure how we're going to be able to do this. Well, you did it before the increase, and it's just been reduced to what it was always before the increase for the pandemic, a two-year temporary increase, because that's what the American Rescue Plan was for this voucher program, two-year temporary increase. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:54. Oh, it's Monday. Give me a break. I know. Let me ease into this. We're all jumping into the pool cold. So the new head of the Keystone Mission fears that lies and unsubstantiated stories being told about the nonprofit are hampering its mission to help the homeless living in Luzerne and Lackawanna counties. Now, Walter Butch Barron, who recently took over as interim executive director and CEO, said donations have dropped by about 40% since the media has reported about Luzerne County officials intending to file a lawsuit against the nonprofit and Keystone's former Wilkes-Barre landlord actually filing one. So it has nothing to do with the PR nightmare that Keystone Mission created for themselves. It has nothing to do with their former executive director and CEO, actually their former executive director and CEO abruptly leaving with some other heads, and then a past president and executive director and CEO coming in as a stopgap and the stuff totally hitting the fan to the point where they had to have clearance sales where they were selling stuff for a dollar at one point from some of Keystone Mission locations. And there is a lawsuit and possibly a pending lawsuit and hundreds of thousands of dollars that were given to them that people have valid questions about. That's not lies and unsubstantiated stories. First of all, it's your job as Keystone Mission, as the nonprofit, to be as clear as possible, and you've been anything but since this article. And this article doesn't answer a lot of questions. You're basically saying it's the media's fault for reporting this because now we're not getting our donations any longer. Well, what do you expect? And I don't think it's a great look to come in and say, well, the whole reason we have problems is because the media is reporting on our problems. No, I don't think that's the whole reason you have problems. I think you have a lot of problems that finally came to a head, obviously, and put you in the position you're in. And it's sad that your donations are down 40%, but who in their right mind is going to donate to something where they don't know and don't have clarity on what's going on? And it's your job now as the executive director and CEO, and I hope this coming out to the media now, not blaming the media because that's what you're doing, but I hope this is a first step on being more transparent, being more open and saying, hey, this is why we are where we are. Here's the open book. We're still committed to this mission. These are the things we're still doing. These are the things we can't do any longer. These are the places we don't have any longer. Lay it all out on the table to make it clear for people who say, you know what, I want to help this Keystone Mission. I want to help the homeless population. I just don't know if it's going to the right place right now because there are a lot of questions. And those questions, as you call them, lies and unsubstantiated stories, are more to do with your lack of transparency and openness on this whole situation to where you closed locations and didn't even notify people, including the leaders of those areas that found out via news reports that these problems were finally coming to a head. And then we see in local newspapers that there's a fire sale for a lot of your assets in some of these places that you're doing away with. Well, you couldn't use any of those things in other locations. Where did all those assets go? How much money was made for those fire sales? Did that go to filling any gaps of your funding in the short term? And he says, we still continue to try to meet the needs of the homeless, but it's become close to impossible. We have had to let go of staff and lay off others. This hurts our homeless more than anything else. All because the lack of truth reported by the news, he said in a post on a nonprofit's Facebook page last Sunday. So it's the reporting of this, what's going on with the organization, not what's actually going on with the organization. So how does this breed faith in Keystone Mission? How does this tell possible donors, which there are plenty out there who were supporting? Obviously, if your donations are down 40% since this happened, there's a reason. And the reason is not the media's reporting this. It's because your lack of transparency, your lack of openness, and what's your mission statement and plan moving forward. Blaming the press isn't a good plan. Saying the fact that this stuff's being said about us doesn't move you forward. Now, the nonprofit closed the Innovation Center for Homeless and Poverty in East Union Street in Wilkes-Barre, which included an overnight shelter in July, along with a similar facility in West Olive Street in Scranton that did not have an overnight shelter. It still operates the Transformation Center in Parkview Circle in Wilkes-Barre, and provides daily meals at a pavilion down the street from the former Scranton offices. The Transformation Center has 10 overnight beds that provide meals and programming designed to help homeless men develop skills needed to acquire and maintain housing, become staff, self-sufficient, and more productive members of society. He also talks about that City Council approved a $500,000 allocation to the American Red Cross funds, and he says they passed an audit. So transparency is the way to go here. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.